There is a heresy in the church today, and the heresy is this. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, accept His free grace, His unmerited favor, and be saved, and after that you have absolutely no moral obligation to do anything else. Loved one, that's not true.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and welcome to your midweek broadcast. Today, Pastor Bill continues his teaching from the Epistle of Romans with part two of the message, What is a Living Sacrifice? Let's listen in now.
And the Bible tells us, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You know, isn't that amazing? He energizes sons of disobedience, which implies a relationship, which means they're not born again. If somebody told me before I came to Christ that the devil was in a way running my life, I would have probably slapped them. No, come on. What do you mean? I'm my own man. I'm a good man. Pay my taxes, wash my car. You know what I'm saying? I mow my yard. I don't steal, you know, or any of those. Oh, what do you mean, running my life? Well, you see, the problem is that this world system, he is so smooth, the devil, the father of all lies, that he persuades people that don't know him at the same time that they're not being ruled by him or influenced by him. But the truth of the matter is, they are. He's convinced the lost person, he said, you don't need to believe. You need to be in church of all things. Are you naive? No, you don't need that. You certainly don't need the Bible. No, you're your own person. Listen, you know what the world is that we live in even right now? It is a world where God is left out. It's God is left out. He's not wanted. He's not needed. He's not desired. He's not even believed in. We're not part of that world. Don't conform yourself to that world. That's what God is saying. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:17, it says the world, this world system is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth for ever and ever and ever. We want to live for the world that's going to be forever and ever, not the one that's going to be passing away. You know, I remember an article that I saved years ago, and I was just talking to a brother earlier in the first service who told me, he said, you know, that article you read, Bill, came out, I think he said 1965 or 1966, by Paul Harvey. I want to read it to you, okay? Paul Harvey said this. He says, if I were the devil, you ready? He says, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I'd delude the minds into thinking that they had come from man's effort instead of God's blessing. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not even an issue when it comes to leadership. I would cheapen human life as much as possible, that the lives of animals are valued more than human beings. I would take God out of the schools where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind, target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the mind of every family member with my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy and fashionable. He says, if the family crumbles, well, then so does the nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas, on TV screens, and call it art. I would convince the world that people are born homosexuals and that their lifestyle should be accepted. I would convince the people that right and wrong are determined by only a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agenda as being politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant, out of date, archaic, and the Bible is only for the naive. I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not even important and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. He goes, I guess if I were the devil, I'd leave things pretty much the way they are. That was written in the 60s, loved one, and look at our world today. Oh, listen, the devil wants you to be conformed to this world. He wants the world to fashion you because he's the God of this age. He wants you to think and act and believe like the world. Now listen carefully. This is vital that you get this. There is absolutely only one way not to be conformed to the world for the believer. Only one way, not several ways, only one way. It's found in verse 2. Look at it. Do not be conformed or fashioned or molded into this world system, but be what? By the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? It means that we have to detox our mind. Whenever you come to Christ, the moment that you are born again, do you become a new creation? Yes. Do you have a brand new heart? Yes. Do you have a brand new mind? No. You're still the dummy. No, I'm teasing. No. Listen, the word renew means you have to have a new way to think. You can't think the old way anymore. You can't even process it that way. It's not even true. The same mind that you had when you said, I don't need Christ, I don't want him to be my Lord, the day you're born again, you still have that same mind. New heart, new creation, yes. Old things passed away, yes. All things become new, amen. But something has to happen. See, you now who have been formerly conformed to the world, now you have to get away from that by being transformed. And we know that that word transform, we get our word metamorphosis in the English language. It means a change or form of character to match now our new inner being. It's a change from the inside out. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is called, that's a process of sanctification, where we, the believer, now that we're born again, we're being changed from glory to glory to glory into the same image of our Lord by the Holy Spirit who is working now in our lives. Romans 8:29 says, we have been predestined to the image of the Son of God. So listen, Christ's likeness is our goal. But the only way to achieve that is to let what's inside now go to the outside. Remember Matthew 17, chapter 2, when Peter, John, and James, they went up to the mountain with the Lord and he was transfigured before them? That word is metamorphosis, the same word, okay? He was transfigured. In other words, his deity exploded through his humanity and his face shone like the sun and all the rest of it. And they saw who he was. Man, listen, that's who is living in us, who wants to get through us to this world that is lost. That transformation that takes place, that metamorphosis, it's like, you know, the little tadpole that becomes a what? A frog. And then there's the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. Now, doesn't that ever blow you away? I mean, there is an ugly little caterpillar, right? But all that's inside of him, the DNA, is to change him to becoming what he really is. And he comes out as that butterfly, and then he starts flying. Well, you know what? We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's come into our heart whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Listen, oh, Lord, Lord, do we need to be Christ to this fallen world that we're in? So there's only one way to be transformed, no other way. And that is by the renewing of your mind. Now, I'm going to say this tenderly to you. I'm not beating on you. I'm just being honest with you because we don't blow smoke at Calvary Chapel, okay? Listen, if you are not renewing your mind to the Word of God, you have never, never presented yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. You haven't done it. You see, for us to have the mind of the Lord, to renew our mind, is not an option. It's a command. The command, for example, in Philippians 2:5, where Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. His same attitude, the way he acts, the way he thinks. We're to be imitators of God as little children, walking in love. Now listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 2:16, that we are the depository of the mind of God. We have it right here, the mind of Christ. We have the Word of God. It says in Colossians 3:2, Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things below. There's only two places a believer can set his mind, heaven or earth. Okay? Not only that, it says in Colossians 3:16, listen carefully, let the word of Christ dwell. That means to have the run of your heart, ample room in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, here it comes, in all wisdom, in all teaching, that means the instruction to others, and admonishing, or literally warning one another. Now listen, you the believer, if you have not renewed your minds to the Word of God, you certainly can't instruct, you certainly can't teach, and you don't know what to warn one another about because you don't know the Word of God. Now listen, without God's Word in your life, being renewing your mind, you know what happens to you? There's absolutely no spiritual growth in your life. You're going to be a little baby the rest of your life, a spiritual baby. You're going to be living off other people's faith, other people's sermons, other people's happiness or whatever, instead of what God has for you. You know, the Bible tells us about not having any spiritual growth if you don't know God's Word. It says this in 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the pure, not the watered down or that sissy gospel and all that sissy stuff. No, the pure milk of the Word, it tells us why, that ye may grow thereby. In other words, that you would be nourished so you would have progress in your walk with the Lord. If the Word of God, if you haven't renewed your mind to the Word of God, you have, number one, no spiritual growth, but you also, you have no light. You're not walking in light. The psalmist has said in Psalm 119:105, he says, oh, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't have God's Word, you don't know which way you're going. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, listen, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you're living by bread, you're in trouble. You have to be living off the living bread. Amen. The living manna, which is the Word of God. And not only that, believer, listen how important it is to renew your mind to God's Word where you know God's Word. You know, I knew a brother that used to go to the church here about 20 some odd years ago. And he used to say, when he'd come and preach sometimes, and he would say, and he's really hard. I'm not hard like he was. Oh, he's hard. He would say, yes, I could probably come to some of your homes right now, and you got four or five Bibles in your house, and I could probably walk over the one that's sitting on your coffee table, and there'd be so much dust on the top of that Bible, I could write the word condemned. Because people, the church in America, we neglect the Word. Well, we can't do that. See, without God's Word, if you're not renewing your mind, you're not complete. Yeah, I mean, yes, you're saved, but you're not complete. You're not moving forward. Let me give you the scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It's good for you. You need it. I need it. Profitable for what? For doctrine, meaning what is right. For reproof, that's what isn't right. For correction, that's how to stay right. And for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, the woman of God, here it comes, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're not renewing your mind to God's Word, without God's Word, you're incomplete. Without God's Word, you're not equipped. Loved one, listen to me. Without God's Word, by the renewing of your mind, there is absolutely no transformation that's going to take place, meaning your sanctification, your walk with the Lord. It's going to be dead. You're not going to be going anywhere at all. There are only two minds on this planet. One mind is that which is transformed to the things of God. The other mind are the people that are being conformed to the things of this world. And whichever one you want to feed the most is the one that's going to win. Now listen carefully. This is the saddest part to me. What happens to Christians? What happens to those believers who choose not? They come to church, they give, that's wonderful, praise the Lord. But they choose not to renew their minds. They never really read the Bible. They never break it down. They never study. They never meditate upon it. They never dig through it. They never treat it like treasure. They just, you know, come to church and they're hearers of the Word, not necessarily doers. And that means you're deceived and all the rest of it. What happens to those Christians? Well, first of all, they've never presented their bodies a living sacrifice. But what's so sad, if they choose not to renew their minds, they're going to miss the greatest thing in their life. They will never, 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 never know God's will for your life. You'll never know it. Never. Not only that, you'll never grow spiritually. Oh, there's so many things that God wants to show you, speak to you, learning his voice, learning the voice and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God, going deeper in God's word, knowing who God the Father really is, giving you that assurance that you really know that you're saved and that heaven really is your home. If you're not renewing your mind, you're not going to really truly know all of those things. And not only that, as I've seen it over the last 40 some odd years, loved one, you know what happens if you don't renew your mind to the word of God? You fall prey to every wind of doctrine that blows through town. You just latch yourself onto anything and whatever. Oh, whoa, that's great. Look what's happening. Oh, no, listen. And not only that, if you're not renewing your mind to the word of God, even though the wicked one, the devil, is defeated, you cannot defeat him because you don't know how. You don't know how. You don't know about, like it says in the Bible, it says, above all, taking up the shield of faith by which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I didn't know that was in there. What is the shield of faith? Well, see, if you don't know what it is, how can you defend yourself? All the fiery darts that he throws to you, you're lost and God doesn't love you. He doesn't love you anymore. You sin for the last time. It's over with. And you go, yes, right. God can't love me. God can't forgive me. No, you don't know the word of God. You don't know God who sent his son to die for you. That you don't know what's going on. Do you understand me? Do you know how vital this is today? Every day you hear the voice of the wicked one or the demons or someone that lies to you. If you don't know the word of God, how do you cast down lies and imaginations and all those things that come against you in this life? Listen, I know God loves me. No, see, I know it. I know that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will ever change God's love for me or anyone. God is love. God's love is unchangeable. It doesn't go up and down. He doesn't go, oh, Bill, you blew it today. I knew you were a loser. I don't know why I ever saved you. No. No, God says, that's my son. I'm waiting for him to get up on his knees and say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned, cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. He's like the prodigal father that's waiting for the son to come home and saying, oh, there he comes, that's my son, he's dead, but now he's alive, he was lost, but he's found, bring the calf, let's have a party, bring the sandals, bring the ring, and give me that robe of righteousness to cover up his shame. That's the God that I know in the Bible. Listen, God is so good to us. Oh, look what it says here. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get into the word of God. And look what it says. Why? That you may prove. That means to live. It means to experience. What is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God? A transformed mind produces a transformed will. You say, oh, Lord, I don't want to miss your plan. I want to know your will for my life. And listen, God's will, loved one, whether you know it or not, God's will is always good for you. You may say, I don't think it's good right now, but it is. Believe me, it's always perfect. It's perfect. It's good. It's exactly what we need. No plan that you have will ever be better than God's plan for your life. No plan that you have will ever improve upon God's plan. Now listen, you will never, ever know God's good and perfect will without renewing your mind. Never. It'll never happen. You see, an unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. It is an unprotected mind, and the devil loves that. You see, the devil, listen, when he attacks you, where does he attack? The mind. He attacks the operating system. That's how, you know, where does fear come from? Well, you know, he comes and he speaks, you know, all these things, or the demons or people, who, whatever it is, producing all the fear and anxiety and stress and all the rest of it. You're not going to make it. You're never going, God's not going to help you this time. That's all a lie. Listen, if this is truth, God's word is truth. When I hear something that says, well, God doesn't love you, I go, really? Where's that written at in the Bible? But see, if you have renewed your mind, you know where that's at. And you know that God, again, God's love for you will never, ever, ever change. It doesn't mean that he agrees with you if you blow it and sin. Of course not. But God's love, you can't change it. That's who he is. He loves us. Unconditional love. That's what agape is, the unconditional love of God. Man's love is so conditional. You do this and I'll love you. You act this way and I'll love you. God says, I love you no matter how you're acting. Do you hear that? Oh, Bill, you're saying we can sin? Of course I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, that God You can't change his love. And I'm going to say something. I say it here all the time. God loves you just as he much loves a drug addict that doesn't know him, that's sitting down there right now shooting up. Do you understand? God so loved the world, not the bees and the trees and the rivers and the rocks. He loves people of every race and every color. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him, not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, the devil just wants to penetrate, use just part of your mind. He can't get all of it. He knows that. But what he wants is to take that one little piece, young people, listen to me, all of us, that one little piece of your thinking, and he says, if I can just conform that to the thinking of the world, if I can just remove their moral compass just a little bit, to let them love some of the things of the world, to watch things that they shouldn't be watching, to say things and maybe having sex out of marriage and all, if I can just get this one little thing, I at least have a little bit of a stronghold in their life. Do you know why people don't come to Christ today? I used to think people didn't come to Christ because it's just a bunch of bad preaching. No. Did you know that bad preaching and good preaching don't necessarily win people to the Lord? No. Why is it that people resist? You can talk to a person about Buddha and all the rest, anything, and it won't bother them. But you talk to a lost person about the Lord, Jesus, and that word just kind of sets them off. Why is that? Well, I know why. Why do so many reject the Lord? The Bible tells us, you ready? It says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but even Paul says, if our gospel, meaning the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord, dying for our sins, he says, if it's hidden, if it's veiled, it's veiled to those that are lost, those that are perishing. Why do so many reject Jesus? Why do people say, I don't need heaven, or I don't need hell, I don't believe in either one of them, and I'm a good person, if there's a heaven, I'm going to go there. No, good people don't go to heaven. Only saved people go to heaven. Do you understand? Why do they turn heaven down? Why do they turn, you mean I can have all of my sins forgiven? You mean really washed away? I can walk in a newness of life? My name can really be in the Lamb's book of life? And when I die, to be absent from my body is to be immediately present with the Lord? Yes, and you want to turn that down for hell? Why did they do that? I'll tell you why. You ready? It says, well, if the gospel's hidden, it says it's hidden whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The devil. Blinding the mind. You don't need Christ. Or come on. You're trying to tell me that one man paid for all the sins of the world and every generation? That's crazy. That's too narrow. Come on, you're smarter than that. He blinds the minds of people. What? So they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What prevents a lost person, a good lost person, from coming to Jesus Christ? This nation is saturated with churches. We're saturated with preaching on TV, the internet. We're all over the world on our internet, even this church. And you think, what is it? Well, it's because Satan blinds the mind. You see, a person that doesn't know Christ, and if that's you, listen to me. I love you, man. See, it's easier to believe a lie if you're lost than it is to believe a truth. Don't do that. I have two questions. And then we're closing. The first question is this. Christian, are you a living sacrifice? Because now you know what it means to be that. If you're not that, why not? What's preventing you from renewing your minds? What's preventing you from saying, Lord, I lay myself on the altar. You send me and do with me wherever, whatever you want. Do you know God loves you and he will empower you to do whatever you're called to do in this life? Are you a living sacrifice? If not, I love you, but you need to repent. You need to say, Lord, I've just been living my own life, conformed to the world even, and I'm through with that. And the other question is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this might be your very last opportunity to ever have the opportunity to say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Save me and change me.
Pastor Bill's series continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we do look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks for listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.